Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of the Republic of Iraq.
Please have a seat. Good afternoon, everyone. When I took office, nearly 150,000 American troops were deployed in Iraq, and I pledged to end this war responsibly. Today, only several thousand troops remain there, and more are coming home every day. This is a season of homecomings, and military families across America are being reunited for the holidays. In the coming days, the last American soldiers will cross the border out of Iraq with honor and with their heads held high. After nearly 9 years, our war in Iraq ends this month. Today, I'm proud to welcome Prime Minister Maliki, the elected leader of a sovereign, self-reliant, and democratic Iraq. We're here to mark the end of this war, to honor the sacrifices of all those who made this day possible, and to turn the page, begin a new chapter in the history between our countries, a normal relationship between sovereign nations, an equal partnership based on mutual interests and mutual respect. Iraq faces great challenges, but today reflects the impressive progress that Iraqis have made. Millions have cast their ballots, some risking or giving their lives, to vote in free elections. The Prime Minister leads Iraq's most inclusive government yet. Iraqis are working to build institutions that are efficient and independent and transparent. Economically, Iraqis continue to invest in their infrastructure and development, and I think it's worth considering some remarkable statistics. In the coming years, it's estimated that Iraq's economy will grow even faster than China's or India's. With oil production rising, Iraq is on track to once again be one of the region's leading oil producers. With respect to security, Iraqi forces have been in the lead for the better part of 3 years, patrolling the streets, dismantling militias, conducting counterterrorism operations. Today, despite continued attacks by those who seek to derail Iraq's progress, violence remains at record lows. And Mr. Prime Minister, that's a tribute to your leadership and to the skill and the sacrifices of Iraqi forces. Across the region, Iraq is forging new ties of trade and commerce with its neighbors, and Iraq is assuming its rightful place among the community of nations. For the first time in 2 decades, Iraq is scheduled to host the next Arab League summit, and what a powerful message that will send throughout the Arab world. People throughout the region will see a new Iraq that's determining its own destiny, a country in which people from different religious sects and ethnicities can resolve their differences peacefully through the democratic process. Mr. Prime Minister, as we end this war, and as Iraq faces its future, the Iraqi people must know that you will not stand alone. You have a strong and enduring partner in the United States of America. And so today, the Prime Minister and I are reaffirming our common vision of a long-term partnership between our nations. This is in keeping with our strategic framework agreement, and it will be like the close relationships we have with other sovereign nations. Simply put, we are building a comprehensive partnership. Mr. Prime Minister, you've said that Iraqis seek democracy, a state of citizens and not sex. So we're partnering to strengthen the institutions upon which Iraq's democracy depends. Free elections, a vibrant press, a strong civil society, professional police and law enforcement that uphold the rule of law, an independent judiciary that delivers justice fairly, and transparent institutions that serve all Iraqis. We're partnering to expand our trade and commerce. We'll make it easier for our businesses to export and innovate together. We'll share our experiences in agriculture and in healthcare. We'll work together to develop Iraq's energy sector, even as the Iraqi economy diversifies, and we'll deepen Iraq's integration into the global economy. We're partnering to expand the ties between our citizens, especially our young people, Through efforts like the Fulbright program, we're welcoming more Iraqi students and future leaders to America to study and form friendships that will bind our nations together for generations to come. And we'll forge more collaborations in areas like science and technology. We'll partner for our shared security. Mr. Prime Minister, we discussed how the United States could help Iraq train and equip its forces, not by stationing American troops there or with U.S. bases in Iraq, those days are over, but rather the kind of training and assistance we offer to other countries. And given the challenges we face together in a rapidly changing region, we also agreed to establish a new formal channel of communication between our national security advisors. And finally, we're partnering for regional security. For just as Iraq has pledged not to interfere in other nations must not interfere in Iraq. Iraq's sovereignty must be respected. Meanwhile, there should be no doubt the drawdown in Iraq has allowed us to refocus our resources, achieve progress in Afghanistan, put al-Qaeda on the path to defeat, and to better prepare for the full range of challenges that lie ahead. So make no mistake, our strong presence in the Middle East endures, and the United States will never waver in defense of our allies, our partners, or our interests. This is the shared vision that Prime Minister Maliki and I reaffirmed today. An equal partnership, a broad relationship that advances the security, the prosperity, and the aspirations of both our people. Mr. Prime Minister, you've said it yourself. Building a strong and durable relationship between our two countries is vital, and I could not agree more. So this is a historic moment. A war is ending. A new day is upon us. And let us never forget those who gave us this chance. The untold number of Iraqis who've given their lives. More than 1 million Americans, military and civilian, who have served in Iraq. Nearly 4,500 fallen Americans who gave their last full measure of devotion. Tens of thousands of wounded warriors and so many inspiring military families. They are the reason that we can stand here today. And we owe it to every single one of them. We have a moral obligation to all of them to build a future worthy of their sacrifice. Mr. Prime Minister.
Shukran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فخامة السيد الرئيس شكرا جزيلا لك على الدعوة وعلى اللقاء وعلى أجواء الحوار الإيجابي الذي جرى بيننا. بالالتزام المشترك أنهينا الحرب. وبالالتزام المشترك تمت عملية انسحاب القوات الأمريكية من العراق. وهو انسحاب يؤشر على النجاح. وليس كما أراد أن يتصوره البعض سلبيا إنما الأهداف التي وضعناها نصب عيوننا قد تحققت تحقق في العراق عملية سياسية بنهج ديمقراطي واعتماد مبادئ الانتخابات والتداول السلمي للسلطة عراق ينتهج سياسة خارجية لا يتدخل ولا يسمح للآخرين التدخل بشؤونه يبحث عن الملتقيات والمشتركات مع الآخرين يضع مصلحته مقدمة ومصلحة الآخرين التي يحرص عليها كما يحرص على المنطقة من أي احتمالات للتداعي والارتباك فخامة الرئيس اليوم نلتقي في واشنطن بعد أن أتممنا الصفحة الأولى من التعاون المثمر البناء الذي نقدم لكم فيه الشكر والتقدير على ما قدمتم وعلى ما التزمتم
اليوم لمن committed yourself to and anyone who observes the nature of the relationship between the two countries will say that the relationship will not end with the departure of the last American soldier. It only started when we signed in 2008 in addition to the withdrawal treaty the strategic framework agreement for the relationship between our two countries.
ولأننا أثبتنا نجاحا في الصفحة الأولى متميزا
mission, a very unique success. Nobody imagined that we will succeed in defeating terrorism and the Al-Qaeda.
أن نضع كل الخطوات اللازمة لكي ننجح في المرحلة الثانية.
Necessary steps in order to succeed in our second stage, which is the dual relationship under the framework, strategic framework agreement in the economic sphere, as well as in educational and commercial and cultural and judicial and security cooperation fields. Iraq now has become relied completely on its own security apparatus and internal security. As a result of the expertise that it gained during the confrontations and the training and the equipping, but it remains a need of cooperation with the United States of America in the security issues and informations and combating terrorism and in the area of training and the area of equipping which is needed by the Iraqi army, and we have started that, and we want to complete the process of equipping the Iraqi army in order to protect our sovereignty and does not violate the rights of anybody or would not take any missions that violate the sovereignty of others. Today, the joint mission is to establish the mechanisms and the commitments that will expedite our. We have reached an agreement and we have held a meeting for the higher joint committee under the chairmanship of Mr. Biden, the Vice President, and myself in Baghdad, and we spoke about all the details that will put the framework agreement into implementation. And here we talked about it and its activation, and there will be other discussions and other meetings for the higher committee here in Washington in order to put the final touches regarding the necessary mechanisms for cooperation and achieving the common vision that we followed and which was based on our common wills and political independent decision and the desire to respect the sovereignty of each other. We feel that we need political cooperation as well. In addition to cooperating in the security and economic and commercial fields, we need a political cooperation, particularly with regard to the matters that are common and are of concern for us as two parties that want to cooperate. The common vision that we used as a point of departure, we have confirmed today. And I am very happy to every time we meet with the American side, I find determination and a strong will to activate the strategic framework agreement. And I will say it frankly, this is necessary and it serves the interest of Iraq as it is necessary and serves the interest of the United States of America. This makes us feel that we will succeed with the same common commitment that we had in combating terrorism and accomplishing the missions that the basis of which Iraq was independent. Iraq today has a lot of wealth and it needs experience and expertise and American and foreign expertise to help Iraq exploiting its own wealth in an ideal way. Iraq is still suffering from a shortage of resources, and we have established a strategy to increase the Iraqi wealth, and we hope that the American companies will have the largest role in increasing our wealth in the area of oil and other aspects as well. Iraq wants to rebuild all the sectors that were harmed because of the war and because of the adventurous policies that were used by the former regime, and we need a wide range of reform in the area of education. We have succeeded in signing several agreements through the educational initiative, which put hundreds of our college graduates to continue their graduate studies and specialized subjects in American universities. And I am putting it before everyone who is watching the relationship between the U.S. and Iraq. It is a a very has a very high aspirations, and I'd like to renew my thanks for His Excellency the President for giving me this opportunity, and I wish him more success, God willing. Thank you very much.